Hey, what's up? This is Eric, and welcome to this episode of Minority Give Back. I'm really excited that you're here joining me on the journey. This has been a wonderful, wonderful time. And I say wonderful because it is wonderful when you get an opportunity to kind of just grow and be with people and kind of see them on the journey. So I appreciate you for being right here with me on this as we all learn and grow and do more together around finances. But not even just finances, we're talking about life here. And this is an exciting time to be alive. And even though there's a lot of crazy stuff happening in the world, I do want to just let you know that, hey, it's all good because you're still here, which means you still have a purpose. And that means you also have an opportunity to fulfill that purpose. So with that being said, let's jump right into it. Man, so this is going to be a follow-up session, and the reason why I do a follow-up is because typically we sometimes forget to just do that follow-up. And I say that because there's things we started. We looked at the budget. We looked at SMART goals. We looked at how to actually set budgets up. We looked at prioritizing ourselves so that we can actually get things in order and just kind of moving ahead. We also had a story shared earlier in the episodes about one of the projects that I was working on and just perspectives and how knowledge yields better perspectives. And I say that because it's important, and that's the whole reason why I'm doing this, is knowledge yields better perspectives. The more I can share with you, the more knowledge you have, the better your perspective will be. And so by doing that, I want to just kind of focus on a few things really quick. So the first one is getting you right. If you don't have the proper perspective about yourself, you will not, and I can say that firmly, you will not have the correct perspective about anything else in your life, because that perspective is first yielded through how you look, what lens you look through, and how you see things. So that is key. Having the correct image. Who are you? What are you doing? Why are you doing it? Now, I can't control your past, and unfortunately, neither can you. It's your past. It's the only thing you can do is read about it. You can think about it and remember it, but you can't go back in time and change it. You can't do anything about it. Therefore, your past should never be an indicator, a dictator, or the setting for which you live your present moment out. Keyword present. I didn't say nothing about your future. Keyword present. Your past should never dictate how you live today. Now, there are consequences. You got to deal with those things. Absolutely. There's repercussions. Absolutely. But even in those things, we can choose how we show up and live today and be present, not in tomorrow, not in what you hope to come out for tomorrow, but in who you are and what you are today. So I want to encourage you on that. Get you right. Get you right and things will fall in line, whether it be getting up and actually exercising, drinking more water, whether it be saying no to sweets, saying no to fast food, whatever that is, saying no to this movie, saying no to going out with your friends, because you are budgeting for a better you. Be it, do it, get you right. And in doing that, you'll be happier. And it just takes making those small decisions to do that. And what are your goals? So I have a couple of goals that I'm actually working on as well. I'm still aiming to do them. One of the goals that I had was to invest in a project. And I'm actually doing that right now. It's exciting. It's challenging too. But I want to share that with you because I want you to know that it's not something that people just say do. It's like, no, this is how I'm doing it. So I'm investing in an actual project right now, and it's involving a house. I gave you the story about my friends. And then I want to follow with that because the story on that was how, you know, perspective was there and they were wanting the dollar in the moment. And so for me personally, I prayed about it and I was like, okay, I want this to work out, but I'm not going to do anything crazy with it. I'm going to just let you handle it. Cause it's how I roll. And, sure enough, gave them some time and said, here's the offer that I'm willing to make. Can't do anything different on that. This is my offer. And, came back around, I got the project. So really great. But not only did I get the project, they presented back to me the exact terms with some extra things that were beneficial to me and to them, based on what I had offered in the beginning. And when I say that, I'm saying that they presented to me the idea of the money today versus the money in the future. The fact that they are getting money up front, so I am doing some initial exchanging there, but they are also investing the dollar now to enable them to get more of their dollar in the future. So they're basically creating children and grandchildren, which is awesome from the dollar. So the dollar is actually having more children, which is going to work for them, and it's going to work for me as well. And so there's a benefit to that. And this isn't some Ponzi scheme. This is just investing in an actual property. And it works that way, and it does. And you trust, and things, there are things that are unknown. Things are still going to happen, but there is trust in that, that this will work out. So really excited about that. So it's quite cool to just see that come through. Other thing that I wanted to actually share is, you know, having a goal. I think one goal that we should all make, and I'm going to actually do it, is try to cut one spending habit, at least one spending habit, or eliminate one fee in a month. 30 days, take one spending habit, whether it be you're eating out or you get like overdraft fees. I actually have a friend of mine, a client, who gets overdraft fees. And I'm trying to figure out the how on that. And so working with them on that. But let's see what we can do to eliminate the overdraft fees, and or eliminate a fee, like whether it be like you go to an ATM because you got to get money, and you don't go to your ATM because your ATM at your bank that you bank with is further away. Well, there's a couple of things with that. One, should you switch banks? Like, could that be convenient, especially if the one is close to where you live? Should you switch banks? Two, why are you having to go to the ATM so much? Are you not planning and budgeting correctly, such that you got to run to the ATM? And do you need to have cash? Is it not something you can just use your car for and you aren't paying any fees at all? But if you are utilizing cash in that transactional manner, then plan ahead for it such that you don't need to go to an ATM in a rush and therefore then choose an ATM that is not in your network or not that does, that charges you a fee, etc. Because $350, $250, go to an ATM at a gas station and you're paying like $3. Like, nah, it's not that much. And you're paying for convenience. It's a convenience store, right? You're paying for convenience. However, you're giving money away for something that you already had and owned because you didn't plan. I'll let you think about that one for a minute. You're giving your own money away that you already owned and you should have access to freely because you just didn't plan. So you basically are paying to not plan. Sounds good. All right, so on to the next one. Yeah, we should try to eliminate a bill. Let me go into a story real quick. And the reason for this is actually quite timely. Like I said, I have a client, friend of mine, working on getting out of debt. And she, I love her. I love her to death. She's an awesome woman. She's been through a lot. I know her personally. And she's been through a lot, but yet she's like hitting it hard, like going ahead, and she's facing some difficult times, and she's evaluating her situation kind of in a lot of different manners, like toxic environment at home, and by home meaning roommate situations not quite up to snuff, work environment is kind of living situations not the greatest at all. She lives in New York, so it's a grindy city, and if you can make money, but because the cost of living in New York is what it is, it's a similar like me out here being in Seattle and West Coast. Like, I make bank, but at the same time, I don't make bank because, like, it costs so much to live out here. So you really don't see your dollar. You see, like, 30 cents of your dollar because everything else is going towards living expenses, which is not good. But anyway, so in this situation with her, you know, going through the budget, looking at numbers and things like that, and what I realized, I was asking her about, you know, savings and things like that. And we got into this discussion about 401k. And so she works for an employer who matches her contribution. And many, a lot of us do. I have that situation as well, where you get a match. And so the question then becomes, what do you do? And I don't have the fullest answer on this because everybody's situation is different. But here is the situation that she faced. She has a couple of bills that are due monthly. Credit cards, and the interest on the credit cards are running at like a 25-26%. No judgment call on that. Things happen. I've actually had one that was at 26% before, and I was like, how do I cut this up fast enough to actually get rid of it? And you got to pay it off, and then you just cancel it, close it, and go on about your day. But so at 26%, the balance on it, let's just round this out to about $1,200. So the monthly payment, of course, isn't going to be much. In this case, the monthly payment is right at like $33. So if you factor in the interest versus the monthly payment, you will realize that you pretty much are netting even month over month. However, the interest also accrues on the balance. So if you take that and you see how that's running, you realize that you are actually you, when I say you, meaning person in this situation, is actually month over month. And this is on each bill. Now, if you're late, there's a late fee on charge on top of that. And then things start to compound really fast. And in this case, she doesn't make a ton of money and she doesn't have extra spread. So there are a couple of times where she doesn't pay one bill because she's paying another one, etc. And there are times when she gets late. And as a result, you have a late fee plus the interest, and the money that you would even tend to pay that month is actually didn't even cover the month's amount of debt you incurred from the same account. Basically, you're in the negative, you're underwater, as they say, and you're basically digging a bigger hole. Meaning that there's no way, unless you actually get a larger sum of money, to pay all that off at one time and actually stop the snowball effect. The snowball effect has an opposite, where instead of snowballing out of debt, you're actually snowballing further into debt just because the interest is what it is. So I explained that up front to set up the scenario. She has a couple of bills, not just one, but a couple of bills that are doing the exact same thing, where she's actually in the negative month over month, even though she's making a payment. So, but she's also contributing to her 401k. And there's this saying, or this thought, this theory out here, you should always contribute to your 401k because it's free money, especially if you're getting a match. However, there are also times when it actually does not make sense to contribute even with a match, because you will have incurred so much more debt over the same period of time that the match doesn't matter, because it's going to become a wash when you do get access to that money, because you're going to have so much debt if you didn't file for bankruptcy. So it's also looking at the future gain, the loan gain, but at the same time also being mindful of the short-term impact and things that you're doing. So, all right, in saying all that, because that was just a whole lot that I just said, here's what I advised her to do. I said, okay, so she's contributing, I'm going to use round numbers on this, she's contributing, say, $50 a check. $50 a check, so she's contributing $100 a month, and she's getting that matched. So two checks get paid twice a month. She gets a match from her company, so $100, $100. It's great. However, again, let's look at the bill. So the bill, say, $30 a month. We get interest on that. We got multiple bills. Should she be putting and contributing to the 401k? I want you to write me an answer to that question. Should she be contributing to the 401k? I'm going to give you the answer now, because I just want to help you all out and keep the story going. No, she shouldn't. Yes, she should at some point pick back up. But in the current moment, because she's underwater, incurring more debt than she's able to cover, the match doesn't make sense right now, when she can take the money and in a couple of months knock out the bill, get the interest back under control so it's not eating at her every month and adding to her debt, because that's what it's currently doing. Every month she actually gets further into debt because of the interest, and she's not knocking off any of her principal. The principal is actually increasing because of the interest, which is how this all works, which is why we got to be mindful of how we do spend. So in saying all that, no, she shouldn't be contributing to the 401k in this present moment. So take, say, a 4-month break, change your contributions in this case. And this is what I advise her, change your contributions in this case, pull them down to zero, take that money. Yes, you're going to get hit on taxes, understood. But the difference, take that money, snowball that into one of the bills. You won't cover all of them, cover one of them. Get it under control and then redo it again and do the same thing and get your interest back in check so that you aren't actually incurring more debt just from interest on a bill. When that is back in check and you can manage that appropriately, then start back contributing and getting a match. And the reason why I suggest that is quite simple. Stress today is not joy tomorrow. Because sometimes there's a prohibitor to getting to tomorrow. Stress today is not joy tomorrow. So if she's stressed today, as an example, and now she's body have issues, you got health issues and things, you can't work, whatever, you may end up losing your job, you got health issues, now there's other bills you're incurring, and you're just not happy because you're stressed about, man, I can't make these bills or whatever. You aren't even thinking about the 401k contribution because you don't even see it. So if you really think about it from that perspective of, how do I help eliminate this bill, actually feel better because I see progress being made, I see the interest is not hitting me as well, that helps with joy for tomorrow, because then you know, this works, I can do this, let me keep going. So with that being said, I wanted to give you a story and really just kind of like knocking on that. We're right at the time. I really appreciate what you all are doing. Definitely write me. Seriously. Write me if you have questions. This is one that's really simple. Don't forget, set your goals. Get you right. I'm going to brand it on a t-shirt. So don't take that from me. No, I'm just kidding. If you do, just hit me up and like send me one, and then we can wear it together. But thanks for joining me on Minority Give Back. This is Eric. I really appreciate you, what you're doing. Don't forget, you are smart, you are learned, and you do know what you know. And it's the what you don't know that you will figure out if you continually seek for it. So I can encourage you, seek advice, seek wisdom, seek counsel, and don't just take it from one person. Always ask around. And until next time, have a good one. Be blessed, and I will catch you later. Have a good one.